Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Cast a Dice, a Warhammer podcast. I got the whole crew in today because we're going to be talking about something pretty big. The big FAQ just dropped. A lot of things changed. Some armies got better-ish. Some armies did not get better. And some armies, like Grey Knights, that really, really needed it, finally got reined in a little bit. So, all you Grey Knights players out there, I hope you enjoyed your time in the sun because your free ride's over. You're now immortal like the rest of us. But yeah, this FAQ was actually a pretty big one, and it was quite good in my opinion. I would argue that it's probably the best FAQ that they've released yet. It's definitely going to shift the meta. A whole bunch of changes came out alongside of it that are really going to change the way certain armies are played, in particular Knights and Inari. And really, all of the Eldari races are going to change significantly due to this FAQ. Also, with Inari getting their White Dwarf rules, they're completely different now anyway. But we'll go into that in a little bit. With me today, I've got Wayne, Caramon, and Dennis. We're all here to kind of review and go over what this FAQ is talking about. Maybe try to pick out any good nuggets that happen to be in them. Wayne, how are you feeling about the FAQ? What are your first impressions?
I think it fixed a lot of problems. I think it isn't perfect, of course, but it's definitely a good step in the right direction.
Cool, cool. And Dennis, what do you think?
I think that it was a decent FAQ. They went a little bit overboard in some areas, and they just sort of made some changes that left me scratching my head what they're thinking.
Okay. So, I'll have to come back to you and ask you what you mean about that later when we get there. What armies do you think they went overboard with?
Do you think they went overboard with the Castellan?
Yeah. The Castellan okay.
Didn't need to be nerfed. They went overboard with Grey Knights.
There was only one change to Grey Knights, and even that was overboard.
Yeah. Any change to Grey Knights, it's not, you know, a positive. You're doing it wrong.
Caramon, how are you feeling?
Overall, pretty okay. The general changes were mostly necessary, I think. And on army basis, well, some went sideways. Some didn't change really, and it's mostly minor things in the most cases.
Okay.
So, I'm fine with it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you play Thousand Sons and Tyranids, and I think those two armies in particular got next to no real changes, so...
Yeah, nothing in for Tyranids, basically. One small important change for Thousand Sons, which I will get into later, and basically nothing else.
Okay. Yeah, and I know this doesn't really affect Thousand Sons, but there was a change to Demon Princes that we'll get into in a little bit, too, that is going to affect the way Chaos has been getting played, so that'll be interesting to talk about. Now, pouring through this update, the major main update, it came out alongside a whole bunch of facts and erratas for the individual codexes. So we're going to start by going through the first main FAQ, and one of the big things it did was it clarified a lot of cool core rules changes. So just starting there, wobbly model syndrome got clarified. This one was particularly funny to me because GW was like, we had no idea that you guys were actually playing it like this. Like reading it, it's like, we're disappointed in you. I can't believe we have to answer this. And that is funny to me because that's how I feel most of the time when I see a lot of these rules debates pop up. But pretty much what's changed is their intent for the wobbly model syndrome was that it should only serve as a hinder tip to prevent models from being damaged should they be placed in a location where they would be in danger of falling over, not to be intended to place models where they would be able to physically go. So you can't be leaning tanks up against walls now and putting them on top of buildings in weird positions and just claiming wobbly model syndrome and then wherever you place your model is okay. The fact that people were doing that is really annoying to me. I'm with GW in that I'm really surprised they even had to go through this, but this is a big change because in these highly competitive tournaments, you'll have people doing all sorts of stupid stuff with their models and putting them in all sorts of places where they're not supposed to really be. So now movement is going to be completely different in the competitive scene. So you're not going to see all the dumbness that you saw prior. With this, they also define the edge of the battlefield. You can no longer have any part of the model or its base move over the edge of the battlefield. So some of the bigger things that like to hang out in the back, it's going to be kind of hard. You can't have wings hanging over, for instance. Really big flyers, for instance, are going to be kind of hard. You're going to have to really keep them away from the edge of the battlefield. So it'll be interesting to see how that is handled. That's going to change deployment a whole lot. The next thing on there is disembarking from destroyed transports. When I first read this one, I didn't really understand when it would ever be a thing. I didn't know that it even needed to be corrected because I couldn't think of a scenario where a transport would be destroyed and then on your own turn that you could still get out and charge from. But apparently it's come to my attention that people have been putting combi plasmas on rhinos and blowing them up on purpose so they could disembark and get an extra 3 inches and then charge. So yeah, way to go, people. You exploited something completely silly and now it's tied up. So good on you, GW. I'm glad that got changed. Definitely didn't need that. That was pretty dumb that even had to be eroded. But hey, at least they're listening and they're fixing things. Now this one is big. And I'm really glad it happened because I always felt that this needlessly nerfed Blood Angels more than they should have been. They reverted the fly restriction where charging can now fly over intervening models again in the charge phase. However, they still have to count vertical distance now if they're charging on top of a building. So I think this was a pretty good change. Wayne, I know we were talking about this the other day, I believe, when it first dropped. It seems like a nice middle ground between the two rules.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it did seem that they screwed over the Blood Angels inadvertently, and it was a little too big of a hit, so I'm kind of glad to see that they moved it back. I have to fully reread it again because I don't quite remember how it worked, if you still just pretend they're not there or if you actually have to do something with it, but I remember it was nasty before.
Yeah. Now, Dennis, you play Necrons. Did this change affect wraiths before? Were wraiths not able to charge through intervening models?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can do that now.
Okay, so they got that back too. I know they listed like flip belt, wraith form, and all that, and I didn't know that it changed for them as well. They can move through buildings, but they can't charge through models. That definitely seemed silly. So I'm glad all those changes happened. It unnecessarily nerfed melee in an edition where melee already isn't that great. So it's a change that I'm happy for. Blood Angels will get the shot in the arm that they need because they're honestly a pretty good codex. I like a lot of their units, and a lot of them weren't seeing play anymore because they would just get blocked up by chaff units. So it's nice that they reverted this back. It'll be interesting to see what kind of armies and units start getting played now. Aircrafts got a change to them. I believe aircraft is a keyword now. So it changes a few things. I believe the biggest one is they can no longer get cover. So there's that, which makes sense. I mean, it's pretty good. I don't know. Did any other things change for aircrafts?
They don't count as retreat if they have to fly out of 1 inch from an enemy anymore. So they could technically still charge afterwards.
Oh, okay. Because I know they could always shoot, but...
Yes, they could shoot anyways, but they now don't count as a retreated unit anymore.
I don't think aircraft can charge.
There's nothing preventing them, actually.
This is actually pretty big for the Helldrake. That means the Helldrake can do it now.
Helldrake does not get aircraft.
It doesn't?
He has no minimum movement characteristic, really? So he doesn't get it.
Oh, it has to have a minimum move, too. Oh.
Yes, the definition for it.
So it's fly and a minimum move. Okay.
Right. So I think it's done to differentiate your aircraft from just flyer or flying or whatever.
Yeah.
It should affect the Valkyrie or the what's the Space Wolf flyer called again?
Storm Wolf or something
like
that?
Yeah, because those have a hover mode and a flyer mode, so they can probably do some hijinks with that if they are clever about it.
Probably. Okay,
but beyond that, it doesn't change much.
Yeah, okay.
It's a nice clarification, though.
Yeah, it's a nice little clarification. Just, you know, tidies that up a little bit. The next bullet point is resetting up of models. Now, this one has caused a lot of questions. You've got Deep Strike, and then you've got abilities like De Jump or Gate of Infinity, and people would always wonder how far does treat them as if they were reinforcements go. Now they've listed out bullet points that say exactly what applies to models that are reset up via abilities, stratagems, psychic powers, or whatnot. I'm just going to go through all 8 bullet points and... yeah, you'll see what now applies to these units that are shunting across the battlefield. The first one, any rules that are triggered by or apply to units that are set up on the battlefield as reinforcements are also triggered by and applied to that unit when it is set up on the battlefield. So this is big for things like Auspex Scan. Even though they're not deep striking, they were on the battlefield. If they shunt within range of Auspex Scan, it does trigger. So I know that was a question that came up a few times. So that's been clarified. Models in that unit count as having moved a distance equal to their move characteristic that turn, and so suffer the penalty to their hit rolls for moving and firing heavy weapons. If the unit has a minimum move characteristic, it counts as having moved its maximum move characteristic. So, again, you can't shunt and fire heavy weapons with no penalty. That was clarified earlier on. I think it was just reprinted here for the sake of completion. Models in the unit cannot move again during that turn for any reason other than to make a charge move, to pile in, or to consolidate. This was another rule that was already around. This is when they nerfed warp time. So, again, you can't deep strike in warp time. You can't de-jump and move again. You can't Gate of Infinity and move again. So, for whatever reason, if you're being reset up on the battlefield, you do not move for any reason. If a unit was within 1 inch of an enemy unit when it was removed, it does not count as having fallen back when it is set up on the battlefield. So that's interesting. You got a bunch of Grey Knights in battle. You can Gate of Infinity them out of combat, and they can still shoot with all their Storm Bolters that turn. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, and charge because they haven't fallen back. So it definitely opens up some interesting tactical plays that you could do if you have access to those kind of spells. So that's cool. If the unit has advanced during this turn, it still counts as having advanced after it has been set up on the battlefield. That should have been obvious, but I guess it wasn't. So if you advance, you advance. So whatever negatives or whatever apply will still apply after you reset up. Any destroyed models in that unit when it is removed are still destroyed when their unit is set back up on the battlefield. If they were destroyed during this turn, they still count toward any morale test taken for that unit this turn. Again,
should be obvious.
De-jumping a bunch of boys doesn't bring the dead ones back. I don't know why people think it would, but apparently it needed a FAQ. Any models in that unit that have lost any wounds do not regain those wounds when they are removed and will still have lost them when their unit is set back up on the battlefield. Another obvious one, your units do not heal just because they're reset up. Pretty straightforward. Now this one is one in particular that this is the final one. A lot of questions were about this, and I'll admit that even I didn't know exactly how this was due to other rules. Any rules that unit is being affected by when it was removed and which would continue to affect it for a specific duration, such as stratagems, psychic powers, etc., continue to affect that unit until such point as they would normally have no longer applied. For example, if a unit that was within range of an aura ability when it was removed would no longer be affected by that ability if it was set up outside of that aura's range, whereas a unit that was being affected by a psychic power that lasted until the end of that turn would still be affected by it until the end of that turn. Now, that's pretty big because if I remember correctly, in the rules, it states that if you embark on a transport, you lose any buffs that are on you. So this is big in that I know a lot of people didn't know if persistent buffs would still apply if you were removed and set back up. So this completely squashes that, and it's a good change, I think. It makes DeJump and Gate of Infinity better because now with Gate of Infinity, you could throw up Hammer Hand and all that and then shunk them. And you still retain your buffs. So that's pretty good. Note that points 5 through 8 do not apply to any unit set up via the sustained assault rule. Any unit that has been added to your army during the battle and has been set up, such as those added via the demonic ritual ability, or units set up via any of the following stratagems: fresh converts, tide of traitors, unstoppable green tide, more where they came from, Send to the next wave, and endless swarm. These stratagems represent new units joining the fight rather than the existing units being repositioned on the battlefield. So if you tie to traitors a unit that has a buff on it, they lose that buff, is essentially what that's saying. The next group is organized event guidelines, and this is the big one that I said kind of affects Thousand Sons, but only because they used to have their own Demon Prince, and it used to be that you could take all three of every Demon Prince because they were technically different data sheets. Well, that's been squashed. Demon Princes are now just Demon Princes. Doesn't matter if they're Demon Princes of Nurgle, Demon Princes of Tzeentch, regular Demon Prince, or even Chaos Demons Demon Princes. They're all the same data sheets, so you can only have three of them. And this also applies to heavy weapon squads for the various Astra Militarum factions, and Lehman Russes and stuff, as far as Gene Stealer Colts and Guard are concerned. I like this change. I'm glad they did it. I felt that the way it was very gamey. These are technically different data sheets, so I'm going to run 9 Demon Princes. No. Can no longer do that. It's a good change. I'm very happy for it.
And Karn effects are still not effective because it is 3 different data sheets.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. That is true. You could still run... How many Carnifexes can you run total?
9 broods of 3 Carnifexes, I think.
Yeah.
Old one.
Yeah, so your Carnifex army, you could still do that.
I mean, it makes sense. It is different. Yeah, no, it's technically.
Yeah.
Those are actually different beasties because of tyrannies.
Yeah, different adaptations, different weapons, actually, and the
but
dwarfs
now, are different. Now, see, going off that logic, though, I would argue that the Demon Prince thing was technically different, too, because the Nurgle one had the Feel No Pain, the Tzeentch one had a better invuln save.
And both had no access to the Warp Bolter, I know.
Yeah. So that...
It was pretty abused.
It was.
I think that's why it changed. You didn't see people abusing Carnifexes.
Yeah, well,
using this.
Now you're going to see the rise of the Carnifex.
I'm okay with that. I have two.
Well, I need, let me calculate, 18? 27? No.
Sounds good. I'll go ask my wife for money to buy 18.
18 Carnifexes. You heard it here, folks. Get your Carnifexes. You're going to be hot. New meta.
I'm getting a death stare right now.
Okay, so the next point after that is finalized match play rules. Boulder Discipline got finalized. The only change to it is vehicles no longer benefit from it. I guess they felt that vehicles with Hurricane Boulders having Boulder Discipline was too good. I guess I would agree because I've seen battle reports of like Storm Ravens with Hurricane Bolters just absolutely shredding infantry. I feel like that's what they should be doing, though. So,
I mean, they still are.
Yeah.
Hurricane Bolters are pretty good without.
Yeah, I mean, with the Flyers, they're still going to get within rapid fire range, but now they have to get closer to the enemy. Whereas before, they could just hover at 24 inches and just unload.
Is a fair trade-off, I would say.
I don't think Marines were in good enough of a spot to warrant that change, though. But I guess I could see it.
I mean, if you want to see like 3 of those fuckers every game, sure, get them back in.
Yeah, I mean, well, the next change too. It also no longer applies to Death Watch, who are firing special issue ammo. It's not like Death Watch were lighting up the meta. I mean, I guess it was really good being able to fire your special issue ammo with full rapid fire all the time. I mean, I guess that was pretty good, but I guess I could see...
Really only nerfs intercessors because the 30-inch range, everyone else doesn't really care about it that much.
Yeah, I mean, most of them were dropping into Storm Bolter range anyway. I mean, I know a lot of people were running Storm Bolter and Shield kill squads. So, for that reason. So I can kind of see it. I mean, it's definitely a nerf no matter how you look at it, but...
I mean, the special ammo is pretty decent even without, I would argue.
It is, but it made Death Watch nice. Like, I don't know, I felt like Death Watch felt better with it than it's going to without it, because now it's kind of a useless rule for them. Because when are you ever going to not want to use special issue ammo? I don't know. It seemed like an unnecessary change for an army that wasn't really lighting up the meta. So, yeah.
Well, maybe their intent is with it, you'll have a reason to not use special issue ammo.
I guess, but why?
It's situational.
I don't know enough about Death Watch.
Yeah.
Neither. I'm just guessing here.
The next one that got finalized was the prepared position stratagem. Only change to that, yeah. Other than that, it no longer applies to Titanic and aircraft units. Other than that, it's all the same. So, no more saves for your knight or your planes. The knight castellan will no longer be crouching behind a building, receiving the cover on the first turn. And tactical restraint seems to have changed a little bit. CP spent before the battle does not apply. You can't regain CP anymore. It used to be that people would put their warlord with their regained CP, warlord trader, whatever, on the battlefield, and then start using their before game stratagem so they could try to recur some of them. That no longer applies. Other than that, everything else has been just finalized from how it's been. It doesn't apply to things like Moment Shackle and other abilities that can gain you multiple CP. And it doesn't apply to things like Feeder Tendrils that gain CP when you eat stuff. So, I like it. I like it how it is. I do think that CP farming needed a slight nerf, and they got it with this. So, that's good. Can't use a bunch of CP before the game and gain most of it back. So, that's all good. Tactical reserves is now a final match play rule. It doesn't seem like it changed much. I'm reading it now. Instead of being set up on the battlefield during deployment, many units have the ability to be set up in the teleportarium, in high orbit, in ambush, etc. In order to arrive on the battlefield mid-game as reinforcements, when setting up your army during deployment for a match play game, at least half the total number of units in your army must be set up on the battlefield. And the combined points value of all units you set up on the battlefield during deployment, including those that are embarked aboard transports that are set up on the battlefield, must be at least half of your army's total point value. Okay, so really, it's the same as it's been. It just clarified that units that are inside of transports count towards being on the board. So, units inside transports count towards that half. So, I know that was a question that came up a lot. So, that's a good change. Everything else got finalized. All the deep strike stratagems like Strike from the Shadows, Forward Operatives, Clandestine Infiltration, they all got finalized to being a scout move. So, before the battle begins, you move the unit up to 9 inches. It's no longer a deep strike. So, that all got finalized. Codex Tyranids have a shout out in here. Spore Assist, Bombardment Organism. Change the ability to read. When you set up this unit during deployment, it can be set up anywhere on the battlefield that is more than 9 inches from the enemy deployment zone and any enemy models. So, I don't know. Were they setting up bombs in the enemy deployment zone?
Nah, that's the fortification one that used to be set up in the first battle round in your movement phase.
Oh, okay.
So they shifted it from the first movement phase to deployment.
Okay.
So it still functions as it should.
Okay, cool. So that's a good little change then. Meiotic Spores. Outriders of the Swarm. Change this ability to read. When you set up this unit during deployment, it can be set up anywhere on the battlefield that is more than 9 inches from an enemy deployment zone and any enemy models. So, same change. Myotic spores. Outriders of the Swarm.
That's that used to be. I think that's the.
It's an Imperial Armor Index Xeno, so it must be a Forge World Tyranid thing.
Yeah, that's the that's a really big bomb, the biggest one.
Okay.
Yeah, that probably had the same ability or a similar one.
Okay. I
don't know that unit, but it seems to be the case.
Yeah. So it must have changed the same way the other unit did. Now this is a good one. The interim balance review. Imperial Knight stratagems have changed. Rotate ion shields now caps the invuln at a max of 4+. So no more ion bulwark, and then rotate ion for a 3+ invuln. So that's all good. Codex Adeptus Mechanicus, their rotate ion shields now reflect the same CP cost as the Knight one. So 1 CP, 3 CP. I'm not sure if people were using the Admet Codex to use cheaper rotates, but apparently that must have been a thing for them to make this change.
I think it was a point people mentioned.
I think it's the same as the above with the capped rotate, so it's the same bonus for both.
Yeah. So pretty much everything is just getting all the books in line with the maximum 4+ invuln save for rotate ion shield. That was the biggest change to their stratagem. Death grip changed. I don't know much about Death Grip in its last incarnation, but it changes the penultimate sentence of the stratagem to read, if your opponent rolled a 6, and or if the result is equal to or higher than yours, the enemy model breaks free. Otherwise, the enemy model suffers an additional D3 wounds, and both players roll off as before. So they changed...
So that basically, if the other player rolls a 6, then they aren't screwed if they're rolling with a strength 3 character?
Okay. Yeah, so that's pretty much the same changes they made to the Gene Stealer Cold Power, which is actually next. Mental Onslaught. Now if you can't be caught in an infinite loop anymore with Mental Onslaught. If you roll a 6, you get out. So it seems like they're making that a change across the board for things like that. So that's a good change, I think. I don't think you should ever have infinite loops in a game like this. So being able to 6 your way out of it is a good change, in my opinion. Imperial Assassin Stratagem. The big change, big change here. Cypher can't summon assassins for chaos anymore.
Big F.
Yeah. Well, time to sell all my assassins now. My dreams of a fallen assassin army is just up in smoke. It was gonna be meta too.
Anyone who did that needs to be beaten with that issue of White Dwarf.
I mean, it was fun though. It's.
Cypher's like,
doing anything bad, it was just harmless fun, in my opinion.
Assassins are very much Imperial units. To take them in a chaos army through some loophole is kind of eh. So, I'm kind of glad it changed, but hey, you know, not all things can be good, you know. Orcs changed a little bit. Mob up now only applies to boys, so no more Luda bombs. That's gonna see the competitive orc list change quite a bit, because I know they were relying on mobbing up a bunch of Ludas, so that's gonna be the big change there.
It's still a good change, I think. They're pretty clear that that's what they intended, not to have a huge unit of specialists.
Now
you can still jump 80 boys over the board, so
yeah.
Exactly.
Now, a buddy of mine who plays Orcs actually brought up an interesting point, though. Like, and he feels it should apply to things with the keyword of boy. Like,
more than one?
Well, Burna boys, Tank Busters, those are all technically boys, like, as far as Orc hierarchy is concerned. He thinks it should apply to them as well, and now it doesn't, but...
It is keyword clan boys.
Yeah, but they don't have the keyword boys.
Oh.
Yeah, like those data sheets don't have that keyword, and they should. So, we'll see if that changes eventually, but I doubt it. It doesn't seem like a change that's really going to be necessary. This one's pretty big. Craft World Psychic Powers, Conceal, Reveal, Protect, Jinx, Doom, all them. They now only affect Azuriani units, so no more benefiting from Doom for Drukhari and Inari units. That's pretty big. That's
that. I kind of enjoyed the Eldari cooperative gameplay across Codex for it was flavorful in my opinion, but yeah, I see where it was an issue for competitive.
I mean, considering that Dark Eldar really hates Psykers, I can see why, for fluff reasons, it wouldn't even be a good thing.
But in Inari, armies are composed of all three sub-factions, so...
Yeah, I mean, Inari has their own psychic powers now, though, so that's probably why. Craft worlds need to be craft worlds. Inari needs to be Inari. They're doing what we all want, and they're slowly taking away reasons to soup. I mean, it's happening. With every fact that comes out, they're cutting down more and more on cross-play between the factions. So
excluding Imperials.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Imperials still need a little bit of help, although the Gene Stealer cult changes showed a little bit of that too. So it'll be interesting to see what keeps happening going forward. I definitely think it was a change that needed to happen. Nobody was really happy with Inari in its current state besides people that played Inari. So I think it'll be good for the game in the long run. The final thing in this FAQ is just the points values for the weapons on the Castellan Knight. They're now 100 points, so 60 for the Volcano Lance, 40 for the Plasma Decimator on the Imperial version. That accounts for the 100-point increase now. So they're capped at a 4+ invuln, and they're up 100 points. The Chaos one, the Volcano Lance, 70 points, but that's because the base model itself is 10 points cheaper for the Renegade Knight. So they still come out to the same exact cost. So that's pretty much it for the big FAQ. Dennis, I know you said they went a little too far with the Knight changes. Why do you feel that way?
I think that the 4-up save and the 100-point increase will just make it so they never appear in any game ever.
Yeah, you think that's enough? I mean, the Castellan was already pretty pricey. I mean, I don't think it'd be hard for people to free up 100 more points if they wanted to play the thing. And a 4-up invuln is still pretty good on something that big with that many wounds.
I mean, it's acceptable, but
yeah,
750 points, you can find better shit.
Yeah,
the unit is basically dead for competitive.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, I do think it'll still see some play casually. I think the 4+ invuln would have been enough, honestly, and maybe a 20-point increase. But
yeah,
I do think it was a little bit of overkill. That being said, things that are that big, I'll be happy to not see them in games anymore, because I'm actually very much with Wayne in that aspect that I don't like these giant war machines being part of normal 40k games outside of Apocalypse. They're just, they kind of skew the game too much around them, and it makes a lot of things irrelevant in such a small, because at 2,000 points you can only field so much stuff. It's the tournament standard, and they end up with a gravitational pull where everything just kind of will revolve around that Castellan now, and it makes balancing everything else pretty hard. You can only make infantry so good, because if you make them too good, then they can only go up so much in stats, because then you're bumping into knights and stuff like that. So it's like it really cuts down on the design space when you have something so big and powerful out there for regular games. So I'll be kind of happy not to see it all the time. I do think it was a bit of overkill. I think a rework for it would have been in order that could have saved it, but yeah, I'd rather have this than how it was. So that's that. So that is the big FAQ in a nutshell. That's pretty much everything that's big and relevant. There were a few other small changes to individual armies. Like I said, all the erratas for the codexes came out around the same time. So if you have any questions on how your army runs now, you can head to the Warhammer community site and look up your individual FAQ. We're going to touch on a few of the changes here that I think are worth noting. The first one being, I'll go right to Vigilus Ablaze, because these ones are kind of big. The Renegade chapters are now godlocked, so Purge is Nurgle, Scourged is Tzeentch, Flawless Host is Slaanesh, Brazen Beast is Khorne. This one got some backlash I've been noticing online, because people were liking the flexibility of the Renegade chapters, and now they're godlocked, so a lot of people's armies no longer work now. By fluff standards, I agree with this change. From the perspective of a player, I don't know so much if I do, because the Renegade chapters, I felt, should have been more something that if you made, like, say, a custom Renegade chapter, and that particular Renegade chapter was more indicative of your playstyle for your Renegade chapter, it could have been used to represent your chapter. Now, if you want your chapter to be represented, you also have to take that God keyword. So it cuts down a little bit on creativity, in my opinion, but... I could see why it happened. It probably would have been abused otherwise, and I'd rather have something get limited than abused. So there's that. Legion traits now apply to characters. That's pretty big. So Lord Discordant is good to go now. He gets Legion traits.
Alpha Legion minus one.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. He could get, like, in Alpha Legion, he could get, like, minus three now with the Dark Apostle, and if he's Nurgle, he could get Miasma. So, minus three to hit.
Mark of Tzeentch, I can probably shunt over a Glamour of Tzeentch from the Thousand Suns 2.
Probably. Or you could leave him unmarked, give him all the Chaos Marks, and make him minus four.
Yeah, that works too, but I would need to go Black Legion for that.
Yeah, that's true. The Skull Altar, it was supposed to have Demonic Ritual, but it wasn't on the data sheet. Now it has it. It's been added. Renegade traits. If you choose to use the supplement and your army is Battleforged, all character infantry, bikers, and halberd units in a Chaos Space Marine detachment gain a Renegade trait so long as every unit in that detachment is from the same Renegade chapter. Wayne, I know you were bringing up... You were bringing up some argument about Renegade, the way it worded, the whole army would have to be the Renegade trait. I didn't agree with you, and I wanted to hit you multiple times. I mean, I think this is pretty clear that...
Well, but the thing is...
Oh, here we go.
That's... Well, no, it's true, though. That's the second sentence.
Yes.
It's the sentence... The whole argument... And I won't get too much into this, but I want to make it... just known, because I did email them and they unfortunately ignored it, is that
they're probably looking at it like, why is this even a question?
It's their own fault. But the very first line says, and I quote, "If your Chaos Space Marine army is taken from a Renegade chapter, you can either use the rules presented in Codex Chaos Space Marines, i.e. they can use the Legion trait ability and gain the Dark Reaver's trait, or you can use the rules presented in this supplement." So what everyone's ignoring is, now yes, this part clarifies you get characters. The part before that says to be able to pick from what is called this supplement, i.e. Vigilus, your Chaos Space Marine army must be taken from a Renegade chapter. And there is no clarification what that means. So my argument
In that context, my argument is that they're not talking about rules at that point. They're talking about if you want your group of models to be taken from this supplement. And they're not going to say detachment, because that wouldn't be proper syntax. That would be talking, because you're not being like, oh yeah, they're talking about your army, like what you're playing with, and it's not talking about, like, rules at that point. It's talking about, it's like a general sentence. Like, oh, if you want your group of models to take from this, then they'll be that. But everywhere else it talks about detachments.
Right. That's why I brought it up as being something, because that doesn't appear anywhere else. For example, the Black Legion one, like three pages before, says, if your army is Battleforged. So it does reference army, but it does, in this case, it specifically says... taken from a Renegade chapter. So it's one of those things where nobody seems to want to read that sentence.
My argument is that sentence is irrelevant, because it's not actually talking about rules or anything to do with actual force composition. the reason for the Black Legion being different is because the Black Legion trait now, you can't choose the old Black Legion trait from the old book. I mean, there'd be no reason to. They're both the same. But the new Renegade trait, these Renegade traits are significantly different than the ones in the Codex. So they're just kind of differentiating that you can either choose the general one in the Codex or the new focused ones that are actually tied to a Renegade chapter. I will admit that I can see your point, but I don't think it needs a FAQ. I think it should be relatively clear. I guess I can understand where your argument comes from, but I will respectfully say that you are wrong.
most people seem to be completely ignoring it. Like, I've gotten flamed on the Facebook group for pointing it out because everyone skips it and goes right to the second. And maybe it's because I'm a programmer, you know? It's like, it says if. That means it's a condition. You don't get to go to the next part unless you meet the first part.
I think the if is just like, if you want to choose this, you can. If you don't, you can use this rule. But we could debate this one all day. We're gonna move on from that to the other good changes. those were the only major things in the Vigilus Ablaze errata. So those were those changes. The rulebook changes, we already pretty much talked about the fly and the moving stuff, the embarking.
It's the same one, it's just printed double for
Yeah. convenience. The only change that isn't in the big fact that's in the rulebook fact is they finally clarified rules that say you can shoot as if it was the shooting phase. They finally clarified that stratagems that affect you in the shooting phase do not affect you if you're shooting as if it was the shooting phase, but in the movement phase. Those stratagems only work in the phase that it's said. So no punishing volley plus endless cacophony. This was a huge argument. Yeah, this was a huge change that I argued to death with people about for many months, that shooting as if it was the shooting phase doesn't magically make it the shooting phase. So your stratagems don't work. Now it's clarified. It's black and white. Well, magenta. But... it's here. It's here now, and, you know, that argument's done. So, yeah. If you shoot in the movement phase, you can't endless cacophony to shoot twice. It doesn't work. It doesn't apply to things like abilities, so any reroll auras that let you reroll hits would still apply. All that stuff still applies, but stratagems in particular, if they call out a certain phase, they can only be used in that phase. As if phases aren't a thing. So that's that. Grey Knights, for whatever reason, GW decided to kick them in the balls while they were crawling along. The Grandmaster Dread Knight, the only thing Grey Knights had going for them currently, had their invuln save capped at a 3+. It used to be they could use Heed the Prognosticars to get their invuln save by... to a 2+, they can no longer do that. It's now capped at a 3+. So that is that. It's a change that I don't really understand why it had to happen. I could see them changing it eventually, but they should have made Grey Knights a little better alongside of it.
It's pretty unfair for Grey Knights because, well, they currently suck.
Yeah.
But a 2+ invul is too much.
It is, but it was the only thing keeping them going. Like, they needed that.
Yeah. Well, but, I still, on principle, a 2+ invul, it's too harsh.
No.
They should have fixed the Grainers in other places too, but I suppose they have to wait a little longer now.
No, I get it.
I'm sure glad that there are no more 2+ invuls in this game.
Yeah, I mean... I get it, I guess, but
Don't look at the robot behind the curtain.
Ain't nobody here but us trees. Okay, Death Watch. We went over a lot of the big changes for them already with the special issue ammo. The only other big change for them is that their teleportarium stratagem now only affects infantry models. So you can no longer deep strike kill team squads that have bikers in them. I don't know why they did that, but now if your Death Watch unit doesn't just contain infantry, you can't deep strike it. So there's that.
I mean, every other deep strike stratagem already clarifies infantry in most cases, doesn't it?
Yeah, Death Watch didn't, and I assume that's because they can take bikers in their squads, in their normal squads, which made sense to not clarify it for them because their squads are mixed. But now they've just carved bikers out of that stratagem completely. Now you might as well just run kill team and terminators and whatnot and not even run the bikers. So,
I mean, I guess it's fine for bringing them in line with the rest, but
yeah,
it doesn't make much sense. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Other than that, it was just a little bit of clarifications on certain rules. Nothing too important. AdMech, their clandestine infiltration got changed. We already knew that. Not a whole lot seems to have changed for them. Just some minor clarifications. I know one big thing is apparently just announced the other day was that AdMech's going to be getting transports pretty soon. Not part of the fact, but interesting nugget of news. So there's that. Yeah, other than that, nothing really of note. Looks like there's some...
another Renegade Knight.
Yeah, Renegade Knights too. It looks like there's some point value changes in here. The Knight Crusader, Errant, Gallant, Paladin, Warden, points per model, does not include war gear. They're all 285. Points per weapon for the Avenger Gatling Cannon is 75. So, I don't know what they were before in the AdMech Codex. I think that just brought them in line with chapter approved. So, if you're an AdMech player and you have any questions on your force, be sure to look up your FAQ, because a little bit might have changed, but it doesn't look like a whole lot. Craft Worlds, we've talked about. All their psychic powers changed. Only affects Azuriani now, so that's good. It looks like
the rest is just the Rangers and Illich Nightspear now have their setup shenanigans turned to a deep strike. Same for the Ranger from the game Black Fortress. And the Shrift Shroud of Altan Sar is the same now as those two.
I
think it was a pre-game movement or something, or a scout move before. But now it's a deep strike.
Yeah. I know Rangers worked a lot like the old Raven Guard stratagem where you set them up anywhere on the battlefield before the game began. Now they just changed it to what they pretty much changed all those stratagems to a deep strike.
What I find a little bit sad is that Rangers had kind of a unique role in that they could be set up preemptively and then basically deter enemies from getting closer or holding down objectives early on.
You seem to be an elf sympathizer.
Dude, I have elves.
Oh, ew.
Makes sense, right?
Disappointed.
Yeah, you can be that. It's kind of... I don't really see the reason for the change, but, I mean, it's fine, I suppose.
Yeah, it's definitely fine. You need to stop sympathizing with elves. You're better than that.
Why? Striking Scorpions are the best. Just the best.
You're better than that. You're a Chaos player. You're supposed to be... You were supposed to be the best of us.
God. I don't know. I play a lot of these.
Chaos Demons have not changed much, if at all. They got their amended data sheets for things like Flesh Hounds, Blood Crushers, Slaanesh Fiends. So those updated data sheets are now in the FAQ area. Other than that, not a whole lot has really changed. Kind of just clarifications on where you set up Chaos Spawn. If you use the Staff of Tomorrow and the Staff of Zinj, some clarification on Epidemius's tally of pestilence. Other than that, a whole lot of nothing. Gene Stealer cults, as we've said, they can't use a bunch of different Lehman Russ data sheets anymore. Mental Onslaught got changed to where it can't infinite loop anymore. If your opponent rolls a 6, they automatically break out of it. The Amulet of the Void Worm changed the second sentence to read, in addition, enemy units cannot fire Overwatch at the bearer's unit. So, there's that. Let me see here. If an enemy unit within 1 inch of any other enemy unit with a mind control psychic power, can I choose to shoot with that model if the power is successfully manifested and I beat its leadership characteristic on a 3d6 roll? As this model is now treated as part of your army, it would follow all the normal rules for units making shooting attacks whilst within 1 inch of an enemy unit, so the answer to this question is no, unless you are shooting with a pistol weapon or another ranged weapon that can be shot even if the enemies are within an inch. Okay, so that means that you can't mind control somebody even if they're in combat and have them shoot, so that seemed pretty obvious. Just pretty much clarifying that. Add the following paragraph to the end of the Brood Brothers rules, orders. Brood Brothers units that have the Voice of Command or Tank Order abilities cannot issue orders to any unit that has the Gene Stealer Cult faction keyword, nor can they issue orders to units that they would not have been able to issue orders to before they gained the Brood Brothers keyword, i.e. Brood Brothers Company Commander cannot issue orders to a Brood Brothers Ogryn unit or to a Brood Brothers Tempestus Scions unit. Transports Brood Brothers Torx Primes can only transport 10 Brood Brothers Officio Perfectus Infantry models or 10 infantry models that replaced their Militarum Tempestus keyword with Brood Brothers. So, a little bit of changes there. Pretty much just clarifying things. They came from below. Add the following sentence. Any unit set up underground in this way cannot arrive on the battlefield during the first battle round. You can only use this stratagem once per battle. So, they came from below, now follows everybody else's deep strike rules. Lurk in the shadows, change the third sentence to read, until the end of the phase, enemy models can only shoot that unit if it is the closest enemy unit that is visible to them. So, that seems like a clarification, although admittedly I don't know much about Gene Stealer Colts, so I don't play them. Other than that, that was really the only big changes. Were there any other changes to Necrons? I didn't see any.
They gave Necrons a nice FAQ. You can't use your transports like everyone else. So those are pretty dead. They're more dead than they were. They're kind of dead before. But you can use the invasion beam, or the emergency invasion beam, when your transport dies to place a unit there turn one. So, I mean, there's that.
Cool. So at least if your transport dies turn one, everybody's just not dead.
Well, everyone but one unit is quantum dead. Shielding, the stratagem can deflect damage one. I didn't think that was a question, but some people disagreed with me, so.
Okay. So just a couple clarifications for them.
Yep. Nothing big.
Okay. Is there anything else that you think is worth talking about, Wayne?
I mean, do we want to go over how Yanari got kicked in the face?
I mean, we might as well, because they kind of got changed significantly along with the Eldari psychic power nerfs. It hits them pretty hard.
Everyone rejoiced.
Yeah. So, Inari's power from... what is it? Strength from Death?
Strength from Death.
Yeah, Strength from Death no longer is like a move twice, shoot twice kind of deal when something dies. Now, when any unit dies in the battlefield, essentially, Inari just become Emperor's Children. And then, if they charge, they are Emperor's Children Space Wolves. So... they will always fight first in the fight phase, and if they charge and they're already fighting first, they get plus one to hit. So,
wait, you're talking about the League?
The White Dwarf. The White Dwarf's out now.
Oh, it's out now. Right.
Yeah. So
that's finalized.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, even as leak, it was finalized. I mean, we already saw what was going on in the White Dwarf, so I mean, it's pretty safe to talk about at this point. Even if the White Dwarf's not out yet, I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, it's pretty final. That change is pretty significant. It's going to change the face of Inari armies wildly. Dark Reapers are no longer really going to be a thing because there's not really much of a point to them at this point. They were nerfed pretty hard earlier, and they're pretty expensive now. Now that they can't shoot twice, there's not really a point. Shining Spears probably got better, sort of.
I mean, before you could fight twice with them, now it's just fighting first, and what was the second thing again?
Plus one to hit. So if they charge, they're getting plus one to hit.
I guess 2+ on hits is fine, but it's not the same, really.
Yeah. So the armies are definitely going to be different. Their relics and stratagems and everything are out there on the interweb somewhere. Pick up the latest White Dwarf when it comes out if you play Inari, because that's where all your warlord traits, psychic powers, stratagems, and everything are going to be. It was definitely a change that needed to happen. Inari's been kind of plaguing the meta for a while now. I've never found them particularly fun to play against. They always kind of felt like playing the blue player in Magic the Gathering, who just spends all his time playing on your turn and just frustrating your life. So I think it was a good change. I think Inari was an interesting concept on paper. I think Strength from Death was interesting on paper. It was definitely unique, but I don't think it translates well to this style of war game. So I'm glad to see a change. I think it'll be better for the game in the long run. Besides that, Slaanesh released yesterday for Age of Sigmar. Know a few more models have come out that are looking pretty decent for 40K. Those are out there now, so the rules should be out. The Keeper of Secrets looks pretty decent. The rest of the stuff I don't really know too much about. I'm probably going to be doing a Age of Sigmar tome review midweek for the new Slaanesh tome. I know I got a buddy who plays Slaanesh, so it's pretty much going to be me and him on here, and he's going to pretty much review the tome, so look forward to that. That'll be what's coming next. And besides that, Sylvaneth are on the way, so that'll be likely the next thing we talk about as well. I know a lot of big changes are coming from them. They're getting an updated tome and a few new models, so that'll be interesting. Other than that, I don't know if there's really anything much in the 40K world coming out soon. I know Warhammer Fest is in a week, so we're due to be getting the final reveal on whatever this Citadel Pain thing that they keep teasing us about. We'll get to see what that is, so I'll be sure to cover that. And any other news that happens to come out of Warhammer Fest, so that'll be something to look forward to. Do you guys have any final words on the FAQ or just general Warhammer stuff today?
No, I mean, like I said, I think it's a step in the right direction. Is there a few things they probably could still address? Yeah, but we can't expect them to address everything. Overall, I'm pretty happy with it, and I tend to be really salty about everything they do.
I mean, I'm in agreement with you. I'm usually more on the negative side of things usually because I kind of hold them to a higher standard, and this fact actually made me feel really good. It's a slow, painful journey, but I do think the destination is going to be worth it. It seems like they are moving in the direction that I would like to see the game go, so it does give us something to look forward to. Caramon, how you feeling about it?
Well, we skipped over my Thousand Suns, but a small lease on life for Rubrics, as the Perils now don't have to kill the Sorcerer anymore in the unit.
Was it always like that, or was it just a question?
It was never really clear. It was just you take D3 mortal wounds for Perils, or the Psyker takes it, but the Rubrics were in a unique spot where they had the Psyker rule as the unit.
Yeah.
Only the sergeant was casting. So, do you apply the mortal wounds to the unit? Do you apply him to the psyker itself? Does he blow up and do another D3 mortal wounds to the unit because he died? So now they clarified that thing for us, which makes me happy. And now I don't have to kill him first. So,
yeah.
More peril survival.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now you can just apply the mortal wounds to the unit. So, it does work. So that's good. Yeah, that's a good change. Sorry for skipping over your Thousand Suns.
No, it's fine. It's just that one small section, yeah. And the rest is just half a billion changes for the spawn spawning we can do.
Yeah.
Because we have like 18 different abilities for that.
Yeah, I know that was in the Chaos Demons Codex too. Pretty much where you place the spawn has changed for like everybody. Apparently there was questions about where you have to place the spawn when you create one. I mean, it's not that big of a deal in match play because most people don't use it because it costs points. But
yeah
it's a pretty just clarification. Other than that, the Psyker thing was probably the biggest thing in that.
Basically, the FAQ. The only third thing that's in there is a small clarification for Kabbalistic Focus, one of our stratagems, which just now includes rubrics and scarab occults as counting for that Kabbalistic Focus to give another unit +2.
Yeah.
For a psychic test.
Yeah. Oh, one other big thing, though, that it's not a Thousand Suns change, but it does affect Thousand Suns, that change to the rule of resetting up a unit and them no longer being able to move applies. Applies to dark matter crystal and warp time. So, no more shunting 30 Zangor and then warp timing them into a charge.
I mean, they get +1 to charge anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll still get an 8-inch charge. Not as bad. Dennis, anything you'd like to say on behalf of the Necron race?
Buff monolith.
Help! 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 We need assistance.
They're unusable, right? You can only, if you actually do strike the monolith, then you literally only can come out on turn 3.
Oh my god. Yeah. Necrons and Grey Knights, they need help, GW. They need to be next. I think it's time for a 2.0 codex for Necrons. Give them the chaos treatment. I think that'll be good. Yeah, well, this was this week's episode of Cast the Dice, a Warhammer podcast. It was a good episode. We got to talk about the FAQ a lot, so a lot of good changes out there. So there should be a lot of good times ahead for playing, and if you haven't been able to play in a while, maybe this will be enough to bring you back. Again, this is Joe, along with Wayne, Caramon, and Dennis, and we're the Cast the Dice crew. Hope you guys have a good week and keep playing.